Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone because I can't fight it in.
Hi everyone, this is Polly, Daytime After Dark. Tonight, we have a very special guest, one of my favorite people to interview. And if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get him back in daytime. But what show should I get Timothy Stuckley in? Okay, people, let's take a poll on Twitter. What would you like Timothy in? Dave the Ace, Bold, or why enough? Let's bring on Timothy.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Well, I'm glad
I really want you back in daytime. I've been thinking about this lately. And you need to come back in daytime. So, anything I can do for you, I will
because I
want. I'm missing you
five days
a week. I mean, 5 days a week we could see Timothy. How was your play tonight? I texted you break a leg, but, you know, I really didn't want you to break a leg. But then after I sent it, I'm like, oh, gosh, what if I jinx him? What if he actually broke something on stage? So
You don't have to feel guilty about that. Actually, I don't say break a leg. I say break bones. I figure if it were a leg, I would feel a bit guilty. But if I'm generic with the bones, then, that's as much help as I can give any of us. So, but you don't worry about it. We understand the intention, yeah? So.
Well,
it was a good show tonight. We had a really cooperative audience. They were very... they were ready to have fun. It's a romantic comedy, so the more easygoing.
What is the play you're doing right now? What is it about and what are you doing with it?
You're doing Shakespeare in Love, like the movie. But now it's a stage play with music. So you get to meet all of the people around Shakespeare. In his, not young, but I guess early career is the idea. And he has writer's block. So you watch him go through different things, particularly falling in love with a young woman who wants to be an actor. And he solves his writer's block.
Oh, my God. That is an awesome, that's an awesome, you know, thing. Because, you know, if they had that, in high school, instead of me reading all those books, like I love reading, but when you have to read a book, you don't really want to, you know?
Yeah,
and you feel like
it's not the same.
No, it feels like I was trying to help my niece the other day. She texted me and goes, okay, what is the whole Tales of Two Cities about? And I go, well, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And she goes, what did you do? What did you do? Just read one page? I go, no. I read a couple of pages in the front. And, you know, but then I told her that probably not a good idea. And I did not want my brother mad at me for saying that. But, you know, but no, that's awesome. So how long are you going to be in Chicago doing this?
We run through June 18th. So a few more weeks, A few more weeks, yeah.
And then where do you guys go after that?
Well, the show in toto isn't moving. Our director, Rachel Rockwell, is directing another production of the same show in Florida. So as I understand, a few people from this cast will be going down there to remount with different people. But I will be going home to New Jersey. I've been on the road for, oh boy, all of this year.
Really?
Pittsburgh. Yeah. It's good. I mean, you know, you go where the work is, but that means, yeah, I've been on the road most of the last year. It's been a good recovery year. I had a few years when I first came back from Canada where I wasn't gigging at all. So the last two seasons where it's been, you know, me on the road for most of the year has been a pleasant and welcome change.
Well, and being back in your own bed, you know.
Yeah,
the
little things, right? That'll be fun.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, whenever people go on vacation, they love it. But when they get home, they love it more because then they can get back in their own little bed. And, okay, I've been dying to talk to you for weeks now because you were in Blue Bloods and you didn't tell me were going to be in Blue Bloods. And we are like friends now. We are like friends. I'm like, and someone goes to me and they go, oh, you know, Timothy is in Blue Bloods this week.
Why didn't you know?
And I go, no. And they go, but you guys are friends. I'm like, yeah, but the friend forgot to, you know, let me know. But no, I watched it. You were incredible. How is it there? Because Blue Bloods is one of my favorite shows. I mean, I love the whole cast. How was that going back again?
It was fun. It was hectic because it literally happened. I went to Pittsburgh Public Theater to do 12th Night, and I was going to have 13 days back at home before having to start rehearsal here at Chicago Shakespeare Theater for Shakespeare in Love. And then this episode came up to bring back my ADA, Bronx ADA Smith. And it literally shot for 10 of the 13 days I was back. I was on call, and then the snowstorm, the one kind of big one we had on the East Coast, hit the day I was supposed to travel and start rehearsal. So I had an extra day at home because of snow. And came here. So I really lost track because I was in rehearsal right away and trying to catch up because I missed that first day of rehearsal. And I didn't know the air date. So it aired before I remembered that it was coming up. So I didn't tell anyone. I completely forgot.
No, it's okay, but it was just, yeah, Maggie, the host, you know, she lives in Chicago, so she gets it 2 hours before I do. And she goes, okay, you kind of boyfriend was on tonight. And I'm like, okay, let me with one. And then when she right. said you, and she goes, oh, but you knew about it, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm not having that.
No.
And I go, he will tell me next time. I'm so, but no, I love it that you're on Blue Bloods. I love it. So for Blue Bloods, are you guys taping, do they tape most of it in New York, or do they tape some of it in L.A., or?
No, it's all Brooklyn. It's all in I confuse myself what they call that part of Brooklyn. But it's just over the Midtown, just out of the Midtown Tunnel. They shoot there in the studio, and a lot of their locations are still in that area of Brooklyn. So it was easier to get to than, you know, I could still be sleeping in my bed, but I didn't get to do a lot of the things that I thought I might get to touch on in the 13 days I was not in Chicago. So it's a good problem to have, but it was kind of crazy how I just went in, and he was going, because I had been on the show before as the ADA, he was going to be whatever I was. So it was fun. Mm-hmm. Fun to do.
Well, and, I mean, you know, having you on prime time sort of makes it up to me for, you know, you not being on daytime yet. You know, and as, I don't know if you know, ABC got back the rights to One Life to Live and All My Children. I don't know if you were aware of that. So I'm going to tell. Meaning you could go back to, you know, they could have you on G8s as RJ Gannon back if they ever called you, which I'm pushing them to because we kind of need, it would be awesome. RJ and sending crystals colliding. Oh my gosh, I could wipe this whole thing. But no,
well,
I was thinking, would RJ still be
a criminal? Yeah, or, you know, criminal leanings. It's been a long time.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So.
Mike Sonny isn't a criminal. He just does what needs to be done. See, that's how I have it in my head, and people think I'm crazy, but that is okay. But I also, a couple of people wanted me to ask you, have you been able to see Cassie DePiper since, talk to her since the whole cancer thing, and, you know, as of yesterday, like a week ago, she's back. I mean, the cancer's gone. So I thought I would tell you that.
No, that's great. No, because I'm kind of in media blackout most of the time, especially when I'm working. No, I did not know that, but that's great. Thank you.
They got all the cancer and everything, and then I'm like thinking, had Timothy visited, but then I thought about, wait, you haven't had time this year, but I just wanted to let you, I wanted to be the first one to let you know about that, because, yeah, when you're all in another state, when you're doing this play, you know, you're all smart to keep off Twitter and Facebook while you're gone. I think that is brilliant of it. So
you try to do a little to keep some kind of touch, but it's hard. So thank you for telling me. I don't even get to see my family. So my mother and sisters surprised me Memorial Day weekend. They came to town and saw the show and just left this morning at 6 a.m. So that even made it
God,
less
you
of what's happening
that early.
That's even less of what's going on in the world that I've caught up on because I've been hanging out with my mother who went back to Houston today. So,
if you ever need to know what, you know, is going on in the world, just text me. I will let you know. But as of now, you haven't really missed much. Really, you haven't. I mean, yes, I cannot get in trouble, but really, you doing a blackout is like the perfect time to do it, in my opinion. And I think you're smart, but, and so, you know, we only have 90 more days, 100 days to football season. Okay, I'm counting. I have been lost without my Seahawks, without my boys.
How was their draft? Because I got a good couple weeks of football infusion just from the draft. So were you happy with your draft or not?
Yeah, I mean, I was. I'm just waiting forward to, you know, start up again so we can take the Super Bowl, which is rightfully ours, you know, I was thinking about you, actually, the other day, because I'm like, crap, he is stealing scenes with Bridget Monaghan, and Bridget Monaghan is, you know, Tom Brady, and I'm like thinking all this, I was just thinking, I'm like, how is Bridget? I hear from everyone, she's a sweetheart. Do you enjoy working with her?
I did. I did this time much more than the first time, but I guess in a way it's easier for the contract players to, use energy getting to know you when you're coming back, because it's not like,
exactly.
You know, otherwise you're kind of just a guy or, you know, giving a piece of information. But since it was the second time through and I got to help them this time, we were adversaries the first time. So that made it a bit easier to chit-chat.
Well, no, I was happy that you were on the same side, but when you're not on the same side, Timothy made really good drama, I thought, you know, and, you know, I'm like thinking, you know, and, but I am going to treat it with love, and I'm going to say that they need to have your name in the opening of the show, even though you were guest star, it should be, like, right when the show comes on, for people to know, that, you know, you are there, and, you know, I mean, I know that cannot happen, but it would be cool. So now that you've done Blue Bloods, what other primetime show would you like to be on?
Oh, you know, I'm flexible. I really don't, I've never been one to imagine myself in parts, in shows, until it kind of comes up. So, and right now there's not really a show that I, on broadcast, you know, on network television, that I really love myself as an audience member. I'm kind of enjoying it where I'm watching a lot of things on all the streaming services, and some are really weird independent things. But they're such unique worlds that I don't particularly imagine myself replacing anybody in them. It would just be nice to see, to get a chance to play in a lot of those worlds. So I don't know. Right now on network TV, it seems to be cops, federal agents, that kind of thing. So that's fun because that's different for me.
I would love for you to be like a bad guy, like a wheel. You know, on like NCIS, so, but that tapes in California. Okay,
yeah.
I'm gonna find you. So, you know, and that is, you know, hard for, you know, a lot of these shows right now, and the actors, because either they have to go for work on the West Coast for like soaps now. And they have to, but on the East Coast, you know, you have a lot of, you know, the primetime, you know, people. And I think that is really, really awesome in a way, but really funny. But yes, but so let me know what soap you want to go on, and I will work my magic.
Well, you tell me, who needs what you want me to do? Because
Well, I still think RJ coming to Zeno Hospital, and you're a newcomer, and no one knows this, but then you're helping Sunny with the mob. Like, I want to see you, but, like, kind of in that element. Because, you know, for me, when you played RJ all those years, RJ, no matter what people say, you had a heart of gold, you know. And, you know, I always thought you and Catherine Hicklin were not really given the proper chance to really be together, because I was, like, pining away for like months. Get RJ and Catherine Hinkley, you know, I'm like screaming on the TV.
Yeah.
But have you, that's another one people's been asking, have you stayed in contact with Catherine Hinkley, or is it hard staying in touch with like all you were like for the people?
It's hard because everybody's trying to. You have to really find yourself and define yourself outside of the soap, and certainly the universe of your particular soap, when you're not doing it for a while, you know. And the coasts made a difference, and then I left the country to work for a while. So when we kind of keep touch through, like everybody else, Facebook. So constantly kind of checking in, just acknowledging events and ordeal with each other there, but not a lot of conversations. Even if it just is, you know, when people's energy and rest cycles are during the day are very different with 3 hours between them. So, you know.
Well, yeah, and but
yeah, there were several moments on the show when they could have given us a storyline to be, you know, together more than just comic capers.
Well, yeah,
you know.
And I mean, I was waiting for the SCX to happen all the time. Like, I was screaming at the TV most of the time because I felt like they underused all day, and that was, you know, my complaint for years. I mean, no disrespect to him, but your brother Hank, but I felt like all day should have been, you know, more front and center than what all day was. So for me, it made me mad, but I sort of have tried to make my peace of it with it, but kind of not, because it just, when you think about how underused you were, how I saw that, you know, I'm like, okay, give Ozzy something to do. Like, you know,
yeah.
And it just, you know, I mean, yeah, and I mean, the show's been gone for like, oh, gosh, almost 6 years. And I'm like, wow, it's been, you know, gone forever. I mean, not ever. But I better take some calls, though. I know I'm going to get myself in trouble with. I'm good. I do that no matter what. David, you're on there.
Oh, Tim D, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a big fan of yours and RJ. You were my favorite character on here.
Thank you. Also, it's always good to hear.
I'm a fan of Copland. What was like working on Copland? Well, I bet you known.
Oh my goodness! Wow. it was crazy because as I recall, my shooting days were early in the shoot, and the director was a first-time director and screenwriter, so he was having a lot of things happen. It was on location on rooftops of three buildings, over that had a view of the George Washington Bridge in the background. So it was a bit overwhelming for him. So honestly, I was there for at least two nights and never shot. He never got to me. He ended up having to rewrite the sequence because he had to get to the principals who were going to be having, I think there was a bit of conversation and chase and then hanging out of a window that had to be done. So I watched a lot of work from the rooftop. But ultimately, they edited out a lot of the speaking that happened around the action, and I never shot. But the pay was good.
That's always nice.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What was it like to work for Phil Carey? What was it like to work for Asa Tanner?
Oh, Phil Carey was a great man. He was a very sweet he wouldn't particularly like the word sweet because he's man's man, but
yeah.
He was a good human being, really good soul. I always enjoyed working with Phil because he really took it seriously. He cared about how the fans would receive the action. So I always looked forward to and enjoyed my days with Phil Carey. Good man.
I love your things too. You have a question that we're doing, Asa. Yeah, it's like you get on. Yeah.
Well, then it was fun to go at each other because if you're friendly, then you can be meaner. When you really don't know each other, then
sometimes there's
a concern about you taking it personally.
Yeah.
But no, Phil always took care of his fellow actors. So. Good to talk about it. Thanks for asking.
Dorian. What about Dorian? What would you like to work with her? Dorian.
Oh,
same thing. She's fun. I mean, you know, it's going to – you're going to find it on your feet because you don't get a lot of rehearsal time, as you know. So you run your lines. You find some possibilities for humor and drama, and then you go for it. So with Robin, she's always ready to play. And generally, you know, you have to come to her turf to deal with it. A queen on her turf is a tough creature to deal with. So those are always fun days. And we were working together, you know, when they were scheming together, that was the best.
Yeah. I got it, buddy. Okay, but that's the question. You say you're going to be in Florida. What part of Florida are you going to be in? Kind of Florida.
No, that's the play. The play I'm in is moving on to Florida. I'll be going home. The play Shakespeare in Love is going to Florida after here.
Yes, I'm in. So you don't know where you're going to be.
No.
Okay.
Oh, where I'll be? No.
The play.
Negotiating a contract with this theater here, so I think I'll be back in Chicago next spring. But other than that, right now, my sister and I might go to the National Black Theater Festival in North Carolina in the end of July, first week of August. We might go there and teach, do some workshops, and then go see the shows. But it's all still being worked out right now, so I'm not sure. I just know that I'll be back home in my own bed, as Carly said.
After the
show closes.
Yes.
Okay, well, it was nice talking to you again.
Thanks for the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. David, I will put you back on hold. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions. Where in North Carolina are you going to be doing the event?
I think it's Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem.
I'm not sure which venue, you know, because during the festival, a lot of the spaces are already booked for the plays.
Right.
So that's part of what we have to work out is when and where we would be there. But
my sister was
here and we talked about it. Yeah, go on.
Right, I thought maybe it was going to be Raleigh, Durham, or maybe where I'm from, Fayetteville.
It's in Winston-Salem.
If it wasn't Fayetteville, it would have been great to actually meet you because it would have been the first time that I've ever met you after watching you on TV for a long time. But if you ever decide to take in a Cubs game and they ask you to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, feel free to do so, man.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, I could do it better than RJ did, but still, not necessarily something I'm on my bucket list, as it were. Thank you for remembering RJ's sorry attempt.
I don't think I remember trying to sing that so much, but I'll just keep that in mind if I go to YouTube. But I understand you're in a lot of plays. Have they asked you to be in, like, the award-winning Hamilton play that Renee was in and won a Tony for last year? Have they asked you to do Hamilton, the play that,
oh, goodness,
that Renee was in that won the Tony?
Well, that would be terrific. That would be terrific. But I haven't. I sing a little in this one with the ensemble, but it's been a long time since I've sung all by my lonesome in a play.
Right.
I don't know that a Hamilton is in my near future, but hey, I'll give her a go.
Right. Because I know that Renee won a Tony, and I know another former One Life Live person, Katie Haltman, who's my friend. I have done a couple of Broadway musicals that won Tonys for her and for the plays in itself. So it was great to just have people that would become future Tony winners on the show back in the day.
Yeah. Well, that was always a point of pride about One Life to Live, is that the actors were generally pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
you know, talented folks. So,
right.
Yeah, I knew Renee. I'm glad she. I ran into her shortly before she Hair came through again, and she was hoping to get back into some musicals and work more than she was at that time. So it's great how the things came around for her, how the universe, how God helped her, moved her in the position to be in that production, and then that the production was so well received. I was gigging. She was trying to get me tickets, and I was doing the Hamlet at the Public, their mobile unit, and could not get in to see her before she finished her run with that show. So
right.
I'm kind of
right.
sad about that, but I'm really glad how it has worked out for her and that she's working. So work is a good thing.
Right, because I was listening to Public Radio a few weeks ago, and they did a show about some prisoners that got a chance to work in St. Louis on the play Hamilton, and I just, Hamlet.
Yeah. See.
Hamlet.
You did
and,
it too.
and they just did pretty good. But it's just, you know, it's just great to have people working, because I always communicate with Katie Hallman on Facebook and everything, because she did play for a while Paige on One Life to Live before she left to do Broadway.
Oh, right.
So it was just great to actually communicate. But I just hope you have a great night and take care. And
thank you. Hopefully,
if I'm in Winston-Salem, we'll cross paths.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'll be there several days.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
All right, have a good night. All right,
awesome, Bobby. I will put you on hold. Hey, Maggie.
Hi. Hi, Timothy. How you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
You sound it. You really do, which is great, because I was worried about where my guys go when they leave, so I'm glad you're doing plays, you know? I could see you fading off the energy.
That's what I was doing before getting cast for One Life. So, they're fun, and it's a very different type of discipline doing a live performance eight times or more sometimes a week. But I really do love it.
Good. Very good. We want you to have something you love. And if you want to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, it's better to do it on the south side of Chicago.
Which team is on the south side?
My Sox.
The Sox, okay.
Maggie does not like the other team. When I say she doesn't like it, I'm just being polite by saying that. You know.
Well, I don't have a favorite baseball team. I was glad for the other team in that they had such But hey, am I right in saying that your team is still having a rough go of it?
Oh, it's been terrible.
I'm sorry.
All of the guys leave, and I don't know, they're stupid the way they trade people, and they're rebuilding. I'm so sick of this rebuilding BS. You know, play the game.
Well, how long have they been rebuilding?
Seems like since we won in 2005.
But have they really been rebuilding, or they just say they're rebuilding?
They are. Because every year they're getting like younger guys, which is a good thing, but they're letting a lot of the veterans go. And you need them to help the new guys.
You know modern sports, right? It's free agency, so it's not. It's the salary number a bit more than the production. And certainly, loyalty isn't worth anything anymore. So, you know. It's tough on the fans sometimes.
So the Mariners, too, this year, we suck. you know what? All I can say is thank God we have the Seahawks and the Sounders, because if we didn't, I would want to move, but since we have like a really good football team, that's like the only. No, I'm not looking. I tell my mom, I go, you know, if the Seahawks were not doing good, then we can move. But since they are doing good, I guess, you know, because this is when you have that one team not doing good, but you have the other two teams doing good. I just would like to see all three teams doing good, but, you know.
Well, then you just have to kind of, you know, root for another team as well. Get your secondary team, you know.
My Sox.
Yeah, the Sox, yeah.
My Sox.
Baseball, you know, I like baseball.
Yep.
But there's just, I think there are too many games in a season is what I really think.
Yep, it's too long.
I understand the keeping the game so that the stats can be compared across the ages, but that's kind of not the case anymore with the different size parks making, you know, homers easy and all that. But I look at it this way. Whenever I go to a baseball game, major league game, the fans will leave before the game is decided.
Oh, no.
Because it's a 3-game series or something. And so that just says to me that the game really isn't important. If you don't need to stay to see how it's resolved, it's very rare in any football team season that the season is over to the point where you can leave the game. You know, you can be leave because of disgusting performance. I understand that impulse, but you're not leaving because, well, it really doesn't matter to our season how this game ends.
They need us.
Yeah.
Well, and last week, Maggie knows this last week, I was at the Tacoma Dome in Seattle, and we went to go see Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. And I've been waiting like 5 months for this, and so we get there way too early. We get there like an hour and a half before, you know. And they have Pepsi, which I love Coke. So that I got mad at. But then, so we, you know, we put up with the opening act. That was not good. And then, but we had to wait 47 minutes for Tim and Faith to come on stage. 47 minutes after the opening act. And I thought people were going to, like, throw things because, I mean, 47 minutes, and it kind of hides into, it kind of hides into a question about your place. Okay, in the theater, they say sometimes, most of the time, they never start on time. Is that true?
Well, it really depends on when the theater really starts the show. I mean, some theaters say 8 o'clock, but they know that getting the audience seated, they really don't plan to start till 8:05. My experience is most theaters start on time. If they don't, sometimes they're waiting because there's traffic in the area and they know that. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather hold a few minutes to let people get into the building rather than seat them when the show started. Same thing with intermission. Most intermissions are planned to be 10 minutes. But depending on if all the restrooms are on one floor, do people have to travel and come back? Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of people who have trouble with stairs and or elevators, and so we need to allow more time for them to go in and out of? You know, there are a lot of factors that can affect the curtain time. But most theaters start on time.
Oh, good. Now we got the answer. I often wonder that because we go to minor plays or my plays that he plays, and it's always on time. And I'm going, what are you talking about that they start late? I can't figure it out.
I mean, sometimes a smaller theater will play a bit more loose with it because they know they've sold tickets, but the people aren't there yet, you know. They know the numbers don't match, so they'll try to hold.
Thank you.
And so then, you know, a theater you might go to regularly, you notice that they don't start on time. but it really is trying to let the audience arrive so that they can see the whole thing rather than interrupt it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the perfect person to ask. Well, I'm not asking tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, since you will be coming home in a week, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get home?
probably sleep and try to get back on East Coast time. I know it's only an hour different, but it's an hour different, and I'm living a nocturnal schedule because I work at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be up for I probably will not go to bed before 3-4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
and
the time
so
you go to bed.
Yeah, but that's no good on the East Coast.
Oh yeah,
I've got to try to get in sync where I'm going to bed more around 1 and 2, so I can wake up and do business earlier in the day. Here I'm waking up in time. I can do business earlier in the day, but that's not the case when I go back east. So I have to get back in sync. So it mostly will be me sleeping. Is what
good job.
What that
you
will
need
look
it.
Like.
Well, yeah, and
batteries.
I mean, you know, yeah, 1 hour difference people don't get. Yeah, when I was in Idaho with my nieces and nephews, that was like an hour difference. It messed with my body. And then when I went to Arizona, the same thing, and people go, oh, an hour difference. Yes, it has an hour difference. Can really, you know, set you off.
Yeah.
I mean,
location. I've been in a few cities this year. So, like our last time I was supposed to be on the show, I knew I had the time difference between me and home, but I realized after I missed the appointment with you that I did not have the correct relationship with the rest of the country. Because my mother's in Houston, which is the same time zone as I'm in now, but
right.
I kept thinking that I was still an hour different from her. So I wouldn't call her because I was thinking that she wouldn't be up or, you know, she'd already gone to bed, whatever. So, yeah, there's subtle – it's more what your brain and body think the time is.
Mm-hmm.
So I know between time in New York, Pittsburgh, and now Chicago – that my body is a bit confused, so I'm spend some time getting that back and stuff.
Well, yeah, and since you've been working, were you able to go see your mom for Mother's Day, or was it sort of?
No, Mother's Day was
to
a double
do
day.
Now.
I had two shows.
Yeah, man.
I had two shows on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So, but we texted. All of us were, you know, modern technology. So we all texted to her, and I sent her some fruit and chocolate. So I was present in that way. But no, you're often not there for family things.
Well, but you know, my mom has learned that with my brother living in Idaho and my. Little brother lives 45 minutes away, and my sister lives an hour, but, you know, because I get mad at them. I call her. I live 15 minutes apart, but call her. I say I do the good thing, and the boys get off by texting her. And I'm like, I made a federal case of it the other day. And my brother's my brothers are like, we are boys. We are going to get away with it. And I said, that is the most sexist, you know, most sexist thing. But then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, you know, at least they remember to text her. Because, you know, like for their birthday, for like my mom's birthday or my grandma's, I have to call my brothers and remind them. But then my mom and grandma saying, oh, they did this on their own. And and my cousin and I complain about this, too. We
they
don't get the recognition No, but it makes
fun
of so good.
If it bothers you that much, you know there's a simple fix.
What?
Don't remind them 1 year and let the chips fall. So, you know, which is more important to you?
That is actually a really good idea. Number five,
she's very straight.
Maybe once they have to apologize and, you know, have a little chit chat with mom about how they forgot, they'll never forget again.
I kind of give them a break because my older brother has 5 kids. Well, one was a foster one, and she lives here, but the other two, the other four, you know, he has four, and then my little brother had two little girls.
Well, he should certainly remember Mother's Day.
Well, they both got in trouble with their wives, I guess, on Mother's Day. I don't know what happened, but all I know is, because my brother sent me an SOS, like, what do I do? And I go, well, say you're sorry 45 times, and then go buy an expensive diamond ring or something, and they forget it. And they go,
that's
okay.
That's an expensive holiday.
You know, and, my brother's like, I don't have that kind of money. I'm like, okay, then buy you some flowers. But, you know, I mean, you know, but because.
A picture of the ring.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You
want
to go for the ring. Well,
but, I've been meaning to ask you this. When you were on Primetime or when you were on the soaps, what would happen if someone, you know, had to go to the bathroom or someone got really thirsty during the scene? What did you guys do?
They've just got to wait. I mean, unless it's an explosive situation, then, you know, we will wait.
Ooh.
But, generally speaking, you've got a few minutes where you have to make a determination. You know, are you sick and need to let everyone know that you need to go to use facilities, you know, or can you handle it till the next break? Because, because of union, we have breaks at regular intervals. So you've got to be realistic and let people know what's going on. Can we work around? Can you work around the regular schedule, or do we need to adjust because you're having an issue? So it really never, it rarely, rarely comes up that someone has a kind of illness where both they still come to work and that they're having that kind of issue with their bodily functions.
Well, I'm supposed to tell you hi for my other little guy. I mean, he's not little anymore. Zayeti Peck. Him and I are really good friends. And we text, he goes, who are you having on the show now? I go, because I talked to him yesterday. I go, Timothy Sticko. He goes, oh, is they from One Life to Live? And I go, yes. And he goes, oh, I didn't know you knew him. And I go, well, I do. And but he goes, but tell him I say hi. And I'm like, okay, well, just like him, I'm trying to get him and you back in daytime. The two I want back in daytime. You know, Maggie and I talk about this all the time, don't we, Maggie?
Yes,
that we miss both of you in daytime. And, you know, as we were talking, you could go. See, we don't want you on Bold and Beautiful because then you will only be a half an hour. Hi.
Oh, you know, that's funny because I saw the credits for that in the last few days. I saw Torsten. Like, hey, there he is.
Yeah.
He looked like he was having trouble. He looked upset. I didn't watch the show. I had to go. But, yeah, well, it's a half an hour, is it?
Yeah, it's
only
half
an hour. 20 minutes.
Well, it's like 22 minutes if you fast forward the commercials like we do, but, you know, and, but no, but then I sort of won you a Y and all, because then you could buddy up with Christoph St. John, who is my TV husband, with Maggie Lillie out of the Big last year, with, I'm really grateful for. But,
well,
yeah,
never
worked
together,
I just,
but we always have fun and are glad to see each other, so that'd be fun.
That'd be fun, right?
Okay,
of course, I'd be in trouble.
Well, wait, you know Christoph? I didn't know you guys knew each other.
Yeah, well, back in the, handful of years I was on at ABC, there was a lot of the actors from the different networks met a lot. There were a lot of events, a lot of the things that we did together just as actors, even though, you know, we didn't ever work together crossing the networks.
I think,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, he's the best, and but, you know, like I always yell at YNO too. I'm like, give Neil a proper storyline. Give Neil a love interest that I allow. Like,
you know how it is. Television for the last
several
years is chasing a younger demographic. So as soon as
you are older than a certain,
you're not going to get that prime real estate. Or it's rare, you know, they'll do the large movements. Because I'm sure even Sonny, you know, is sharing some of that prime time with younger men of ill repute,
Yes.
And then it swings around and he gets involved. I mean, that's who they're chasing, because that's who has access to more of a family's purse. So, you know, that's who they're trying to influence. So there's really no way around that. So.
Well, yeah, well, true. But before we let you go, I have to ask you, you know, when you found out Young and the Restless, I mean, One Life to Live, you know, was getting canceled, did you see the writing on the wall, or did it come to
I thought One Life would make it a little longer, but I mean, for the format, scripted television simply costs more to produce than what they call reality television or the reality / game type of television. So, because those the people who are both in front of the camera and those in, you know, behind the cameras in the field, because they don't really have studios, homes are kind of a studio, they generally are people who are newer to the industry as technicians and craftspeople, so they, again, aren't demanding the wage of those who are paid to produce the level of scripted programming in terms of building the sets and the costumes. You know, that's a different level of skill and training and usually experience, and so the fee is higher. So they really only are paying editors for that type of thing, right? Because they're paying the talent to have a camera pointed at them for, you know, 12 to 18 hours a day, 5-6 days a week, and then they edit that down to 1 week's fare, whether it's a half an hour or an hour, you know. And so the editor then is the first person in that chain who has to have real skill and experience to whittle that down to some type of narrative. And so it's just so much cheaper that once the federal regulations on programming were removed, the water's going to find it the lowest level. They're going to pay as little as they can for programming that can draw the most commercial revenue. So they're not paying trained actors and not paying lighting people, right, on the same scale, because it's just open a window or put up a few lights in the corner and shoot it in the kitchen, right? That's a little more bare bones, down and dirty, and if it looks like a documentary, they get away with that because it's reality television game show. So it's all just, it's dollars. It's just, it's too cheap.
Well,
to
yeah.
Fill the air with the other thing.
You know, because when both AMC and One Life got canceled, and, I mean, AMC went out to L.A. to for, like, a year, and it did not survive a year. I said on this very show that when they made the decision to move to California, I said on the air, number one, it's not going to be the same. Number two, it's not going to be the same set design as it was in New York. And I was right, but what I felt bad is there was actors losing, you know, going out late, but they were losing their house. You know, some of them had to, you know, just leave their house, you know, and just forget it, because with that, also the economy took a bad hit. You know, at the same time the actors, you know, going to California, and I'm like thinking, okay.
Well, this is
that...
this is a tough business. This is a rough business.
It is.
You know, anytime an actor or really any artist puts down roots in a place, it's tempting fate a bit, because you're gambling that there will be enough work in that place to keep you in that home situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does. But, you know, then you either are doing like I'm doing, where I'm away from my wife and the rest of my family for months on a time, or you take the risk that relocating them will keep you all, you know. Being a professional artist is a challenging endeavor. There are moments, and most of the moments that are seen by other people are fun and often glamorous, but the day-to-day workings of it are stressful and full of that type of event where the work situation now has a huge impact on your living situation.
And your family.
I feel for them, but it's...
Exactly, yeah. Oh.
It's part of the gig. It happens.
That is crazy. Before we let you go, though, when you go back in New York, what is the first thing you're going to have that, you know, you could not... Okay, do you like Chicago pizza? Oh, New York pizza. I know this is really good.
I haven't had any Chicago pizza.
You haven't?
No, I've never been one that travels or explores a city motivated by the food. So I was kind of overwhelmed that everyone was telling me where to go eat in Chicago.
Food all over
kind
the
of
place.
An unplanned result was I haven't really gone... I've gone to a couple places, but they really weren't. I went to a blues place. What was shoot? I'm so bad. My brain is rental space. If I'm not paid to remember it, I don't. No. It was. It's not going to come to me. Buddy, I think it's a Buddy Guy's place.
He would be close, right?
Yeah, it's not coming, because I tried to think of it too quickly. Another part of the actor's job. I've sacrificed some personal life memory for the ritual I have for remembering text. So, right now, but I've been to a blues club, and I tried another tapas place with some of the cast, got together on a day off. Usually, I just come home and try to recoup and recover and prepare for the next day's task, whether that's one show or two. When I go home, but there are things that I can't get here. So, I don't know. Mm. It will be some kind of vegetarian thing that I can eat a ton of and not feel the repercussions. Because I've not had any of the beef and pork that I know I could get here and that would be wonderful and fresh, because I just can't eat much of those things. So, it will be some vegetarian feast.
Yummy.
Well, but, you know, we love having you on. I mean, you're one of our favorite people. So please, I know you're going to come again. I know you answered you will come again.
Well, we have to absolutely we'll do something at the during the preseason. When Eternal for the NFL.
Yes,
yes,
that's what I was going to ask you. I need you doing football season. Because we need to talk football. And, you know, if I have you on the air, maybe the Seahawks will take it this year. Like, I'm trying to align some.
Well, maybe they'll meet the Cowboys. We'll have that. How about that? Maybe
I think we and about your sleeping problem. About your sleeping problem. What helps me if I have to get up early and I don't want to get up early? Try reading the dictionary. And I'm telling you, by 5 minutes you're gonna be asleep.
I don't usually have. I don't stay up late because I can't get to sleep. Really, it's just that my system doesn't slow down. I'm just a night person, and then because I work at night, when I get off from work, I still have energy. It's another way I knew that I was supposed to be an actor because I am wired to work at night.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always been the night person too. And when I was growing up, my mom and dad, it's like, you know, most kids would have bedtime to wear that one out the window because they were like, okay, well, if she's in her bed reading or watching TV and she's not bothering us, okay, you know, and not, you know. But, we're in Chicago. I mean, you play. In case people
want to
get
tickets. The Navy Pier. We're on the Navy Pier, right in downtown Chicago. Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Yep. They're celebrating their 30th year here on the
pier.
Well,
that's where you're at. Okay. I like that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Break a leg, as always.
I enjoyed it.
We will. We will be talking to him for both season. And please text me. Give me a wire skyscraper when you know if you're going back to Blue Bloods.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, we want to know.
That'll be fun.
And have a great night and go relax.
Thank you. Yeah, I will.
Take care.
I will. Thank you. And you too. You have more night left. Than I do. So
I know. Yeah, have a great night.
Good night, Timothy. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sure. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Peace. Bye-bye. Okay.
Hello again.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Okay, Maggie, Bobby.
It's great to have you back.
Yeah, David, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize again to all y'all. To all y'all. My actions have been, that's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah, cause when I got the text earlier, I thought to myself, I think I need to just show Carly what you wrote, and fortunate enough, everything is okay. So what happened before happened before, so I'm just glad you're back, man.
Thank you.
And you know what? Okay, we are, we are like a dysfunctional family, and sometimes we fight, and that's very normal, right, Maggie?
You're right. We are a dysfunctional family, right, Maggie? Hello?
Maggie?
Hello? Yeah.
Well, maybe she dropped her phone. That happened. We were telling David that, we are like a dysfunctional family.
We all love one another.
And sometimes we fight.
It's okay. We're all together. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
the Four Musketeers.
Yes, okay. And then next week, boys, next week we have a big week. On Tuesday, we have Nathan Bodie on at 2 o'clock. But Nathan wants to do tribute questions, so we are doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday, well, it's someone's birthday, who's and someone's tuning.
Was my birthday
51.
Too on Thursday?
Yes, for both of you.
I know, I know. Bobby's on Thursday. I am on Friday, but I'm tuning 31 boys.
Oh. Well, Carly, first, before we go any further, I'm probably not going to be able to make the Thursday show since it's a Twitter thing, even to talk to you guys and just have you guys wish me a happy birthday, even the guests. But I'll definitely be back on Friday, no matter what happens.
Wait. Why won't you be here on Thursday?
Well, you just got Twitter questions and phone calls.
Twitter questions.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. So, but boys, if you have any questions for Nathan, let Maggie and I know before Thursday.
I don't think I have any questions for him at this point, but if it changes, I'll let you know.
Perfect. And, and then on Saturday morning, we are back for a Saturday morning show. We are
what
interviewing
time?
TJ Warner. She was on All My Children in 90210.
What time was this
back
be?
In the day.
What time would this be?
I think it's like 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock my time.
Okay.
12 p.m.
I don't know.
My time.
Mm-hmm. No,
yes.
It'll be like about that time. Okay, I can be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and before we go off air, all I want to say is I hate Chloe. I hope she dies on dates, number one. Number two, Maggie knows where this is going. Number two, Ava brought this all on herself. Everything. And you know what? If I was Sunny, I would be going after Sky Baldwin too, wouldn't you, Mom?
Mm, poor Kiki. This
yep.
Idiot so-called mother. With,
I mean, you're right about Ava. I mean, I really wanted the actress that played her because of what she did on As the World Turns, but not now on General
right.
Hospital. But remember, it was I think it was her, not Olivia, that killed Morgan.
No, Bobby. She started the train by messing with his medicine and putting placebos in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She started that train.
Oh.
So she's even more guilty in my eyes than Olivia is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's paying for it now. Being burned.
Well,
she's
you know what? No, she's not paying enough. She is. Hold on for 1 second. Hello? Hello? I'm still on air.
Huh?
I am still on the radio, so.
I call and it says the show hasn't started.
Because it ended at 10. Yep. Oh, no, yeah, we did. But Blog Talk was being crazy, so we had an L. So, yeah, and we are going
to
get off in a minute. No, we will call you when we get off in a minute.
Right, love you,
bye. You're not bothering me. Love you. Okay, So yes, but no, we will talk more about the Ava stuff next time. But you guys have a great weekend, we will be back next week. And yep.
Bye.
Good night, Bobby. Good night,
Maggie. Good night, guys.
Love you guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.